Good morning, everybody there in Radio Land. Here on KMUN 91.9, it's time for The Conversation with John Orr. This is where you get the opportunity to call in. You don't need to identify yourself. You just make a comment, ask a question, keep the conversation going. This is a conversation with our listeners. I'll try to fill in the gaps, but I'm going to rely upon you to fill in the air between now and about 10 o'clock. And so the topic on today's conversation is, who made the biggest difference in your life? What one person comes to mind when I ask you the question, who made a difference? The number here is 503-325-0010. That's 325-0010. We ask that you make your comments reasonably concise, and that you rely on good sources, good and reliable sources, if you're quoting. And you always keep it civil because it's a conversation, and we don't want to be like, well, the rest of the world. We're going to just talk about things, and it's pretty non-controversial. So this is The Conversation, and the topic is, who made the biggest influence you? What person made the biggest influence on you and your life? Give us a call. Well, while I'm waiting for those calls to come in on today's topic, I guess I'll just volunteer that the answer to the question that when I pose it to myself, what one person made the biggest difference in my life, the biggest influence, there's two of them, one living, one dead. And in fact, it was the death of Robert Kennedy that influenced me most profoundly. And you think about, you know, being a child of the 60s, as I was, how, you know, death seemed to really figure prominently in the news, and I suppose at some level in the formation of personality and philosophy and attitude. So in a matter of like 7 or 8 years, I saw John Kennedy, the president, Robert Kennedy, the candidate for president, Martin Luther King. Yeah, and then, you know, the musicians, it was falling one by one, and it just seemed like there was a common denominator that people died before their time, and they all seemed to be on my list of favorite musicians or inspirational leaders. So the death of Robert Kennedy for me told me that you had to really be willing to die for your beliefs, because if you put it out there, you know, like the song said, you know, they may crucify you. So that was sort of a takeaway from that. It had an influence on me. And also his idealism and his sincerity, and having been through what he'd been through, that he would put it all on the line for his beliefs, his opposition to the war, his belief in civil rights, his efforts to end poverty. So that was one. That was Robert Kennedy. And I'll just have to blab here till somebody calls me here at KMUN 503-325-0010 with the person that made the biggest influence on their life. I'm thinking about teachers. I'm thinking about parents or coaches, maybe employers. Who knows? And the other person is more personal in my case as to who made an influence. And this guy's name was Mark Atherton. Mark Atherton was a systems analyst at Upjohn. I was a senior in high school, and my best friend was his brother-in-law, Brian. And Mark was an idealist and a guy who was undergoing a metamorphosis from being a systems analyst at Upjohn, now Pfizer, finding ways to... I never really completely understood what systems he was analyzing. But he started riding his bicycle to work. And this is Michigan, and it was about 20 miles from his house. So he was talking about being responsible for our actions, being concerned and acting on behalf of the environment. He was doing it in a very personal obvious way. And I found that inspirational. And, you know, he was recycling everything he could. And this was back in 1973. So that was Mark. And I found him to be really inspirational, that I wanted to try and do my part to reduce my footprint on this planet and to try and live with that kind of integrity. Mark was also, in terms of living persons, most influential in my life, because he persuaded me and a couple of other people to take a bicycle trip down to Missouri to a commune, East Wind, I guess you'd call it community, in Tecumseh, Missouri, near the Arkansas border. We rode our bicycles down there, an adventure of the first order in and of itself, but we rode down there, and then I lived on this commune, or community, as I suppose it's more commonly known, for about 4 or 5 weeks, just to experience this alternative to living. And that put in my mind, one must always be looking for alternatives, and including how we conduct our lives, our work, and the separation between lives, our work, and our footprint on the planet. So that kept my idealism alive, and it just broadened the depth of my experiences. And I have Mark Atherton to thank for that. So thank you, Mark. You get the prize for the most influential person in my life. But enough about my story. I just want somebody out there to give us a call here on the Conversation with John Orr. The topic is, who made the biggest difference in your life? What person? And so the number here, if you'd like to call, is 503-325-0010. We're waiting for your call here. And while we're waiting for the call, let's see. Today on November 30th, the last day of November. And apparently, here are some features that Carol Newman is going to be sharing with us in her program this afternoon. Kim Angelus in concert, the Pioneer Presbyterian Church, December 2nd. The Gene Maddox Peterson, the Maddox Dance Studio, as it's known. So Gene Maddox Peterson will be, I guess, on the radio here this afternoon at KMUN. And that's talking about the Nutcracker, December 1st and 2nd, tomorrow and Sunday. Sunday afternoon performance. Also, she will have Andrew Tonry from Tolovana Arts Colony and Larkin Stentz, who will be playing at the Kayla tonight, November 30th. So lots to talk about there. So still waiting for your calls, listeners out there at KMUN. I know you have somebody who you don't mind sharing with us, one person who made a big difference in your life. And so looking forward to receiving your calls. Yes, we are. Liam is having the phone to the ear in his hand. I think he's sending out the message that the radio personality here needs a little assistance. In any event, I guess I'll just keep rolling here while you people out there contemplate that. Otherwise, all you'll hear today is my voice. So, I had thought about another topic, and maybe I should have explored that one. The other topic is, can one person make a difference? And that topic, I cannot claim any originality for, was inspired by listening to a MSNBC broadcast of Rachel Maddow. And she was talking about how one vote can make a difference. a huge difference. I mean, we think, well, how often is it going to be the case where, as in the state of Alaska, you have a tie in a, I think it was a state house, in a state house election, and there was 2,661 votes for Republican Bart Lebon, and then 2,661 for the Democrat Catherine Dodge. Ooh, the phone is lighting up. We may have to come back to this topic. So that was a tie. So anybody who was too busy to vote that day may have been singularly responsible for the tie. And the way the tie was resolved, you'll find out after we take this call. This is The Conversation with John Orr. How are you doing? What's your, who's the person who made the biggest influence on your life? Well.
Hello?
Hey, there we go.
Oh,
go ahead. Let's hear what you have to say.
Well, this person that was most influential in my life covers two bases, your two questions. She was a school teacher. I went to a one-room schoolhouse, and it was a farm community. We were out in the middle of nowhere, isolated. She brought in college students from different countries each month for us to know, to get acquainted with different cultures. She was a foster parent. She brought special needs kids to school and introduced us, taught us how to be tolerant of anybody that was different from us.
Wow.
Yes, she was amazing.
That sounds like a person that was just plucked from the universe to try and use the most gentle and formative way to teach a person compassion and tolerance and a whole host of, you know,
yes,
great virtues.
Yes, and that was one person. And she has infected us with this caring and looking outside of our own little world into the big world and seeing that there was a lot more to the world than us.
Where was this one-room schoolhouse, if you don't mind my asking?
In Ottawa, Kansas.
Ottawa, Kansas. And would you feel comfortable sharing the person's name?
Yeah, Rachel Corbett was her name. She's gone now. But I communicated with her. I wrote her a letter when I got to, she valued education, and she instilled that in us.
Wow.
And when I went to K-State, I wrote her a letter thanking her because I went to a one-room schoolhouse, all 8 grades, and I was competitive with the other students that had been to special schools or different, you know, all the things that they had from their schools that we didn't have. But she took what little resources she had and opened up the world to us, and our grades showed it. I was on the honor roll at K-State, and I called her and or wrote her and told her about this, and then she was a special needs leader in the state of Kansas for special needs kids, and she was on the board and all this. And she took my letter to them, and she told me, when I got to see her a couple of years later, she told me my one letter helped her swing the vote for more benefits for the kids.
Wow, that's kind of poetic justice, isn't it?
Yeah,
one person
yeah.
making a difference and the other person returning the favor, all for the greater good.
Yeah. She was just an awesome person, and when it was just a hard life the way I grew up because it was pretty primitive. But it was a joy to go to school. That's all I wanted to talk about.
Well, can I ask you a question? Because I've got this picture forming in my mind, and perhaps our listeners do. This is a one-room schoolhouse, and you were there from kindergarten through what grade?
Oh, it's first grade. We didn't have kindergarten back then. I was born in 1992.
42.
And yeah. So, yeah. So we'd go to school. That was our world. You know, it was our social media. It was back then.
Now, was it first grade then through what?
Eighth.
Through eighth grade, yeah.
Yeah. We put on plays, musicals, we had community meetings, and I just am amazed at what she introduced us in our lives.
Well, maybe the takeaway there, what's your name, ma'am?
Carolyn Crawford.
Maybe the takeaway there is important for education, not just that one person can make a difference, but that the way to teach is not through just information and memorization like so many of the school districts are doing now, but teaching a way of approaching a problem, a way of communicating the problem, a way of inspire, you know, modeling how a smart person like a teacher would process a problem, because that's the skill. That's the skill of thinking. That's the objective of a liberal arts education, and it's just so great to hear from you about the inspirational qualities.
Yes, she had we were several grades ahead, you know, like on seventh, eighth grade. We would take groups of the little kids and teach them while she was doing something else, and she used us to be her aide, and she taught us critical thinking. She just taught us a lot.
Yes, yes. Teaching critical thinking. If I had a magic wand, or if I was the most powerful person in the United States, I'd say for the sake of democracy and the saving the planet,
yes,
I'd say teaching critical thinking would be tough to beat for my agenda.
Oh yeah, she let us grow. She valued every person for their ability and their talent, and she taught us that each person has a talent. I mean, she covered all bases.
Yeah.
She was just an amazing person.
Well, thank you so much for calling and listening to the program. You know, it's the conversation requires two parties, and so you've definitely done your part, and maybe we hope to hear from you in the future if you're inclined.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, thanks. So, wow, that was great. The inspirational person was a teacher in a one-room schoolhouse in Ottawa, Kansas. And I kind of suspected that teachers would figure prominently in today's topic, who was the person that most influenced your life. A close candidate, after Mark Atherton for myself. By the way, this is The Conversation with John Orr. Please give us a call, 503-325-0010, with the name and a brief little vignette about why this person would be the most influential in your life. So with that, while I wait for the call, I'll spiel number two here. We're getting it lit up here. Thank you, callers. We'll see who that is. And the inspirational person for me was Frank Wanberg, my fifth grade teacher. He also inspired environmental values most significantly in my mind's eye, my recollection, by taking us to Kleinstuck Preserve, which was a wooded area. We picked wild berries. We made wild jam. I love sweet wild jam. I associated that with the outdoor life. And, I became an environmentalist. I guess it's one of these buttons here. It's supposed to be the top one, Liam. So, if we got somebody on hold, it's usually the top button that goes flashy, flashy. Oh, there we go. Okay. Nope, they're gone. I guess I forgot to turn that button on. Is there anybody there? Nope. Okay, smoothly done. Now we got it. Okay. Let's hear what you have, the most influential person and why. Go ahead.
I don't know the name of the person that influenced me so much when I was 10. My parents took us on a trip around the country to different state capitals.
Mm-hmm.
And we were down in the Georgia area and going through spaces. And in this plowed up field was a ramshackle house. And there was an old lady, I assume she was old because she was older than I was, rocking in a very stark nothingness, and she was black, and I could not understand how a person could be alone in a ramshackle house with no windows, no nothing around her, and she was rocking. And that, I'm sure, is the start of my social involvement as a 10-year-old.
If I can just get your get you to talk maybe more directly into the receiver, the signal seems to be phasing in and out. So you said it was an African American woman in Georgia on a rocking chair, and can you set the scene up a little bit more so we can perhaps understand how that influenced you?
So I'm a 10-year-old. We're going through a country that I'd not been through before. It was all plowed around this ramshackle, empty, no windows, no nothing, faded, clapboard house.
The state of Georgia or the country of Georgia in the Soviet Republic?
City, the Georgia state.
Okay. So what was it about the house or
it was
the,
just that
impressed
this
you?
Lady was alone. She looked so sad, and we're driving by in a car, and we know that we have a house over our head. And there was nothing for this lady as she was rocking and looked so forlorn.
Mm-hmm.
And it was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And that started my concern for social equality.
So your young and tender 10-year-old heart was impressed by this picture of perhaps despair born of poverty or perhaps other forms of injustice.
I didn't know anything about that. I just knew that it was wrong that a lady couldn't have a home like I had.
I see. So this was a home that was in bad shape.
Yes.
I see. And so that set you off on an enhanced awareness and a greater concern for social justice, I take it.
Yes.
Interesting.
And it was my parents that had us getting the experience of seeing what the United States was about.
I see. So this was the product of your parents taking it upon themselves to put the kids in the car, take a trip across country, drive the back roads. Was there some reason that your folks headed out to Georgia or this particular place in Georgia?
No, we were just going around the United States. We took the whole summer. My dad had a 25-year career, and he decided he no longer wanted to be part of a that white-collar business, and we sold our house. Not as kids didn't know that. We packed up. We left. Had a trailer. My dad had never pulled a trailer before, and we were on our trip to see different state parks and capitals.
Wow.
And we took 3 months to do that. We ended up in Oregon. We spent the next rest of our life in Oregon.
Wow. Oh, what a great story. And I imagine this would probably be Georgia in the early 60s.
55, long time ago.
Yeah, wow. Segregation everywhere.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
that's wrong. We came from California, and we had the greenhouses. I don't know if you ever heard about those things, but they were barbed wired area with cabins that were painted green, and every year in Southern California there were migrants that were green carded, able to come up and work in the fields.
Yeah. Wow.
And that was, 5 miles from us.
Yeah, barbed wire. I know from being in Oregon just about 32 years that when I first got here, there be those strawberry fields near banks, and it just seemed like it wasn't that long ago that one started to see outdoor porta potties there, and it makes you wonder what provisions were made for the migrant workers before that. So yeah, it's the world is changing, and the question is, will it change quickly enough? And so we have to perhaps, agree, disagree, but we have to try and be the change that we want. I've got another caller. I got to let you go. Thank you so much for that.
Bye.
Oh, okay. This is the... I don't see the caller. We seem to be having a technical... Hold on, caller. We're going to get this thing. It's got a flash on the upper button there, upper right button. Ah, there we go.
Technical problem.
Okay, we've got it now. Thank you. Caller, thanks for holding. And tell us your story briefly.
Good morning, John. Yes. I just wanted to mention someone who was really important in my life. His name is Scott Homestead, and he's a resident Warrenton.
Okay.
And he, I think he taught for the school district for 25 years, and he was tech director there. And he took a chance on me on a job application. I applied for a job, a tech assistance job, and I it was the last day to apply, and I just bumbled into the school district, and I didn't have my resume with me, and all I could do was write my resume and my letter of application by pencil. So he interviewed me, and for 12 years I worked for him and had the joy of my life. Mm-hmm. Excuse me.
Sure, sure.
Is
this Martha?
No.
Oh, okay.
I just so enjoyed working for the Astoria School District as his assistant, teaching technology to kids. And he was a great man. He's a great man. He's a wonderful, kind, probably the most innovative person I've ever known. He was inspiring. He inspired kids. He had a great sense of humor, and he was always there with a positive note. Anybody had a problem. I had a wonderful career change. Because of him.
Is Mr. Holmes, Scott Homestead, still with us?
Yes, he is.
Oh.
And he's still quite a vital human being. He community advocate. His family has always helped in feeding kids in summer programs and doing all kinds of wonderful things. He just recently retired last year, I think, or the year before, and I just really wanted to send a flag up.
Wow. You have. You definitely have. The what I'm getting from this program is that we should all aspire to be like Scott Homestead or Mark Atherton or Bobby Kennedy or the teacher in the one-room schoolhouse. If we were thinking more about how we could lead the change or be the change we want to see in the world, whether more outgoing or positive or kind or inspirational, then, you know, what a immeasurably better community and world we would live in. Do you agree?
I agree. Yeah. Thank you so much, John. Thank you for the topic.
Oh, you bet.
And giving me this opportunity to shout Scott Homestead's name out to the world.
Oh, you have done so. Thank you, dear.
Thank you.
Okay. And wow, what a call. I'd like to meet Scott Homestead. Maybe we can have him on the radio program. You know, there was a song in the mid-60s, "What the World Needs Now is Love, Sweet Love." And maybe we could substitute what we need are people to inspire us because there's a lot of people depressed. There's a lot of people discouraged about the state of the world, the bad news. And apparently, for the first time since the great flu pandemic, in the years of World War I, 15 to 1918, life expectancy has decreased 3 years in a row. That was a radio bit on the way over. I heard about that. And we need to think positive, but we also need to exemplify the things that make us want to be better, to think more critically about the news we hear, to care for the oppressed, the people that are getting a raw deal, whether it's maybe it's the minimum wage worker or the people that don't have sufficient health care. We need to inspire children to care, to become as adults, volunteers in our community, to feel like they have an investment. So I guess we're running out of time for your calls. I do want to thank everybody so very much for the calls today here on The Conversation with John Orr. We'll be back next week, and we will have another conversation.